Hey, we're going to jump into the sermon here. Kind of got a lot to cover. We're wrapping up this series. Actually, next week we're wrapping up the series, Joining God in the Renewal of All Things. Next week's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do baptisms. We're going to celebrate some stuff. That's what next week's about, celebrating some stuff. So you're going to want to be there for that, and that'll be the end of the series, and we'll jump into Easter after that. So that's the game plan. Let me tell you something. My son, I love my son, dude. He is so much fun. And he has fairly recently, he's discovered that contracts are a thing, which that sounds like a weird discovery for a kid to make. But think about it. I mean, it hit him like a ton of bricks one day. Wait a minute. You can write stuff down on paper, and if you can convince somebody to sign that, you now hold a power over them. There is a control that you have. You can make them do the things that are written on that piece of paper. And he asked me lots of, wow, so how does a talk to me about contracts? I don't know if it's a budding lawyer being born. I don't know. But he was really, and I kind of, like, I thought with him a little bit. It's like, it is kind of awesome. You have a piece of paper, and you can control people with this piece of paper. Not long after that, I went to the kitchen, and on the counter, a contract had been left behind for me that Bryce had written. I think he just wanted to try his hand at writing a contract. But here it is. I want to read it to you. Contract. To mom and dad, date back in the day, which is, he's always referencing how old we are. And I'm like, dude, I'm young. Anyway, from B-Man, he wants you to call him B-Man. None of us do. But there's that. And this, you can tell he's just having fun with it. He's just, let's try this. Did he have an objective to write a? No. He just wanted to give it a go. So I thought it would be worth sharing with you. I have a serious problem about your daughter. She has been committing crimes, such as refusing to drink beer. I have no idea why that's a thing that he wrote. I didn't know he was trying to get her to do that. Talking to me, which is now a crime. And farting in my room. And I'm tired of this nonsense, and I want her to stop putting on a little show. So I have made strict instructions on how. Number one, play the song You Can't Touch This. Number two, make her read a book. Number three, make her look in a mirror for 3 minutes. I don't know, soul searching. I don't know exactly what had in mind there. He just wanted to write stuff down. You must do these exactly how it says in the instructions, and if doing that doesn't work, try giving her a bath, and if that doesn't work, I can't help you. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some legitimate business to attend to. Bryce McCarter, do you agree? Sign here. Isn't that fantastic? He's like, contracts are awesome. You can make people sign stuff, and then they have to do the things that you wrote down. And not long after that, like a day or two after that, I'm at my desk in my home office, and he walks up to me and he hands me a contract. I have it right here, the actual one. It says, this one he got lazy on. It just says contract across the top, and then for the words, it just has squiggly lines. Just the, I don't have time to write. I don't know. Okay, all right. And this is when you really, I mean, that this is. Not talk about not reading the fine print. Like, he can, I guess, claim that this says whatever he wants it to say. Anyway, so he hands this to me, and then he says sign and, you know, name and age, of course, and date of birth, which is redundant, but I think he's doing the age thing again. And then for some reason he wanted me to write my favorite type of song. And then at the bottom here, which really kind of gives it away, he wrote, "You just got pranked," with like 20 exclamation points. And so I'm like, I know what he's doing here. He's trying to get me to agree to something that's probably out of bounds, but he's going to refer to the contract. He's seeing the power of the contract before, he's giving it a go. So here's the thing. I was like, son, there's no way I'm going to sign this. First of all, squiggly lines. You tell me that I'm about to get pranked. Why would I sign this? But I decided, number one, I was curious. And number two, I was sort of proud of him for the effort. And Bree was standing there, the two of them, just standing there grinning. So I signed it, but to give myself an out, I signed it Aaron McCorder instead of Aaron McCarter. And I thought, all right, I got an out. Like, if he tells me, all right, so I'll be fine. So I signed the thing, I fill it out, I hand it to them. They look at each other, grin widely, pull the silly string from behind their backs, and just nail me. Sitting at my office, trying to get work done. This is what happened. He's very proud of himself, as you can see. And the next image shows that I did, in fact, have the contract. And I had the moment where I was like, what? Because Sharon's desk is right behind mine. So I turned to Sharon. She's in on it. She's got her camera out. She's like, yeah, let's do this. So that's where the photos came from. So here's the thing. Yeah, he's a clever kid. So there is something fascinating. I mean, I kind of get it about contracts. Oh, I make somebody sign a thing, and I can control them in some way. And there's this. Okay. Here's the thing. I read a history recently of the Church of Scientology. That group is bonkers, by the way. Like, all the way bonkers. Are they a cult? Yes. Extra yes. They check all the boxes. It has nothing to do with church or science. It is a weird group. Anyway, I couldn't look away. I kept reading it hour after hour. But here's what they had their members do, all right? Because they do membership. We do membership. It's the one thing we have in common with the Church of Scientology. They do membership, and they have their members sign literally a 1 billion-year contract. 1 billion years. Just in case reincarnation is a thing, we've got you for all of this life and for like thousands of lives that follow. You are in, and when you're in. It is a 1 billion-year contract, which I think's a flag, but people sign it. Anyway, so here's the thing. That's one approach to membership. we do membership. That's not our approach. Our philosophy is pretty much the opposite of that. It ain't about getting somebody to sign a contract. It's not about roping people in. And make sure you hear this. I think like good church folk need to hear this. Membership is not a lifelong covenant. It's not a marriage. A lot of people think of it like marriage. If somebody wants you to join their church and it sounds like marrying their church, that should be a red flag. It really should. That should make you go, you think about this. Now, we think of it really differently here. I think membership is really beautiful and valuable and important. We do it, but we think of it differently. And in order to sort of reinforce that, we're actually changing up our approach to membership fairly significantly. It's a pretty big shift. So here's our plan. And we've had membership, like I said, for a number of years. Many of you have been members for many years, all that. But here's what we're going to do. We're kind of starting from scratch. And next Sunday, we're going to welcome people to join the church, like everybody. If you're here, then you have the invitation. You accept the invitation, you don't accept the invitation, that's up to you. But it's an invitation to all of us, new members, current members, longtime members. For some of you, it would be your first day being a member. For me, I'd be like, I'm in for whatever year this is. But that's the deal for all of us. The extension invitation is going to be made. Now, and here's the other thing we're doing differently. Instead of a one-time thing where you're just a member and then you are indefinitely, instead of a one-time thing, we're going to re-up every year. All right? That's the thought. So if you join next Sunday, you're saying, all right, I'm in. I'm in for the next 12 months. I'm in for the next 12 months. Not I'm in no matter what. I mean, if you move, then move, you know. If we get weird and I stop preaching the Bible, then leave. You really should do that. So it's not like, it's not a contract. That's not the point. But you're saying, you know, where we're at, where this church is, where we're going, I'm in. I'm in for the next 12 months. And then a year from now, we'll re-up again or not. You know, that's the way we're going to do it. And it's not the one-year thing. It's not because we don't think you're big boys and girls and that you can't commit for longer than that. Well, of course you can. It's because we really think that there's value in taking time once a year, to stop, remind ourselves what Christian community is about. To stop and go, what does it mean to be a part of a church? What does it mean? We throw around the family word a lot. That's a strong word. What does this mean? Community is a strong word. What does it mean? Once a year, we think it's worth stopping and reflecting on this and then declaring together once again, I'm in. I'm in. We've got a couple other reasons for doing this. One, and you may experience this, there's a tendency to become a member when you find the church, and then you sort of check that off the list. Hey, I became a member. And then not think of it again. Like, maybe ever. Like, some of you are probably members at, like, three churches right now. So, like, not ever think of it again for maybe a long time or maybe not at all. And the other thing is, the reason why I want us to, you know, do this annually is the indefinite thing. I think it can confuse the purpose that membership serves. And I'll take a minute to explain what I mean by that and sort of my understanding, our view of membership here at our church, and hopefully this will be helpful to you. First off, let me be clear about this. Membership is not discussed in the Bible. I don't have a verse for it. Here's why. I think it's pretty clear as to why. There was only one church per region. One church per region of the world. So like we're in a big metropolitan area, there'd be like one church, 0 to 1 churches in the ancient Near East. There was no William Blunt Drive in the ancient Near East where there's half a dozen churches like dotting the landscape. This is a different deal in our context now. So when they talked about church community, it didn't need any clarification. It's like, well, what church are you connected with? Like, the church, that the one. That's the one that we're connected in. If you were in the body of Christ, then you were in that sense a member. That was very clear. It's obvious who they were doing this with. But as the church grew, which is a really good thing, and there are more and more churches, which is a really, really good thing, membership became kind of essential and common and practical and kind of just a smart, logical thing to do. But then, I don't want to be too critical or judgmental here, because I don't see behind the veil at very many churches at all, really just this one. But in some cases, it seems like it kind of took on a life, membership took on a life of its own. And then in some cases, it would become, has become sort of like a really big complicated thing with a bunch of hurdles to get over and, different, it can become complicated. And then churches, I think, have been tempted to use membership like it's a tether. Like, hey, you're a member now, so you can't leave. You know, like it's really like insecurities underneath it. Or you have to do this thing or that because you're a membership. You're a member now, so you can't or you must. And I'll just be really honest with you. I think that's super icky. Just, ugh. All of that is just really icky. So I want you to know, I want to be clear, our vantage point, it's not about that at all. It's not about that at all. Becoming a member is not some sort of like insecure thing to make sure you can't leave. You know, my salary isn't based on our membership role, all right? That happens in churches a lot in denominational structures. I'm not sure it's always super healthy. It's not based on any of that. You know, but sometimes, you know what? Sometimes people leave churches. That's okay. Sometimes they move. Sometimes God moves them. Sometimes people leave, and a lot of times they leave for no good reason, and that's not good. But sometimes they leave for good reasons, and that's good. Membership isn't marriage. You know, it's about, real simple, it's about, hear me on this, it's about being known in a place. I want to be as clear as I know how to be. Membership is just identifying our church home. All right? And again, this isn't explained in Scripture, and so different churches may define it differently. Let me be very clear about how we define it. It's about saying, this is my place, and these are my people, and I'm trying to live out my faith and follow the Lord, and in that pursuit, this is like my home base. That is our understanding of membership. It's not about excluding anyone. It's not about making a second tier of Christians. So you got regular Christians and then members. And there you got cape flapping in the wind. They're awesome. It's not about that. It's not about roping people in. Nah, I got you now. It's about community. It's about community. So next week, I'm telling you this now because I want you to have some time to think and pray on it. Next week, we'll meet here and we'll have an opportunity for you to join the church or not join the church. It won't be like some high-pressure thing. We'll do a simple membership installation at some point during the service. I haven't really figured out exactly how we'll do it. And you can either participate or not participate in it. Let me promise you something right now. Here's the only thing I know for sure about how that will go. We will absolutely not single anyone out, period, I promise. Okay? So if it's one of those things, well, I'm not sure I want to become a member, so how's that going to go for me? Not weird at all, I promise. All right? I don't know exactly how we do it. I just know it won't. We will go out of our way to make sure it's not weird for somebody who's like, I don't know. Or it's my first week. What's happening? You know, it's going to be weird for some people who come on Sunday. Like, oh, I just wanted to see my friend get baptized, and they're trying to. I don't know how it's going to play out, but we'll be kind about it. But Yeah, and if you're like, I've only been here for a month, I don't know. You need to take all the pressure off to worry about any of that. But we're going to extend that invitation, all right? And then, like, you after that, you, like, check a box or you don't check a box, and that's it, and that's it. And that might, it might sound strange that we're making it that simple, but, again, think about it. That goes back to just our view of membership. This is about identifying our crew and who we're in this with. It's not about being a better Christian or clearing any hurdles or getting the membership perks. Newsflash, in case you're waiting for this segment of the sermon, there are no perks. There are no perks. We're not going to, like, turn the mezzanine into a VIP lounge for the members or put in box seating, or we're not going to put your name on a plaque on your chair or any of those. We're just not going to do any of that. It's not about any of that. Look, it's about knowing who we're in this with. That's what it's about. So it's a good day to have your booklet. So I hope you have your booklet. If not, of course, it'll be on the screen. You don't have to sweat that one little bit. But if you look at your booklet either now or when you get home, or the one that you grab on your way out because you're like, I don't have one of those, grab that. On the front, on the first page, there's a little bit of an explanation about some stuff we've really kind of already said, and I will say moving forward. And there are six things that are the requirements for membership at our church. And I recognize that seven would sound a lot more spiritual than six, but I didn't want to just make one for the just cause. So if you, like, you know, want to write in Jesus is a friend of mine or something after that, you can call that number seven. You can do that if you want, but I didn't. So what we're going to do is I think this is worth it. We're gonna kind of quickly go through these six requirements, and as we do, I want you to keep in mind that these aren't like our things or Aaron's things or Vineyard things. None of this is Vineyard specific at all. These are Bible things, period. Like, these are just things that the Bible teaches us about how to follow Jesus within the context of a Christian community, inside of a church. What does living out our faith in a church look like? And so these are just Christian things. Again, not Vineyard things or Aaron things. These are Christian things, Bible things. If you follow Jesus, you've already signed up for all of this stuff. You have. And you might read this and go, oh no, I did that. You did. If you are following Christ, then you've already signed up for all of these things. This is saying, hey, we're going to do these things within this context. And this is going to be our, again, sort of our home base. This is going to be our people. We're going to live it out together. So let's go through these things. Number one, and I know you can read, man, we're going to go through them quickly though here. And because I think some of them will help from a little bit of context. So here we go. I will engage in the community of this church by faithfully attending weekly services and small groups whenever it is reasonably possible. Okay, so look, if you're out of town, you're out of town. And if you had to work that week, you had to work that week. And we don't keep attendance anyway. But this is about a value. When this is reasonably possible. If you're sick, we don't even want you here if you're sick. We don't. I love you. We'll pray for you from a distance. I talked to someone this morning who said 2 weeks ago, you prayed for my wife. She couldn't get to church because her back was hurting so badly. And she's had months of this and she's really discouraged. Can we pray for her from a distance? Like, yeah, we'll pray from her. Guess what? It worked. Then that day and every day since, she's been absolutely fine. Isn't that cool? So, praise the Lord for crying out loud. Oh, somebody took the bait. I just feel so warm. So good. But like, hey, I can't believe it. What a weird time to tell a testimony. That was just so I could sarcastically say, we're happy to pray for you from a distance if you're sick. But also, side note, God's been healing. I know at least one healing per week for the last 3 weeks that I know of. So maybe this week will be week four. Let's, you know, don't be shy. It's a good time to ask for prayer. Anywho, this isn't something we can keep. We don't keep roll. We don't do attendance. But whenever it's reasonably possible, and then this line, I love this line. This is sort of a moniker for this. I will refuse to be anonymous. That's what it's saying. Look, this is not a great big church, but it's not a tiny church either. And if you want to be anonymous, you can be. You can slip in during the opening song, and you can slip out during the closing prayer and never talk to anybody. But if you decide to become a member, you're saying actively, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be known. I'm not going to be anonymous. And then you're also saying, I'm going to, you know, the Bible paints these incredible pictures of what it is to be in the community of Christ, and these pictures of just people arm in arm on a mission together, moving forward for the cause of Christ, joining him in the renewal of all things. It also paints incredible pictures about, like, just beautiful, powerful, life-giving things that happen when the body of Christ gathers together to worship. And you're saying, I'm going to make those things a priority. Like, I'm going to, like, build that into my life. I'm going to make that one of the bedrocks, one of the priorities in my life. So that's the first one. Second one is to grow. And this one isn't sort of chunks, okay? But grow, all of number two. This is about growing spiritually. This is about how we're people who love Jesus. And so we want to follow Jesus. And we're trying to grow in that. And these are just some of the things that the Bible teaches about how we do that. This isn't an exhaustive list, but this is some of the big pieces. There are several. So we'll kind of go kind of piece through piece, or piece by piece through this. First one, I will pursue personal spiritual growth by submitting to the authority of Scripture as the final arbiter on all issues. Kind of real simple. We're full-on Bible people around here. Unashamed all the way. We believe the whole thing's true. Of course, it has to be interpreted and understood, and we don't always do that perfectly. There aren't any churches, I think, that have just figured it all out. Also, if you visit the church who's figured it all out, that would be a flag. We're trying to sort this out together. We're trying to figure some stuff out together. But in the end, we're like full-on, all-the-way Bible people. We believe the whole thing is true. We believe that it's a tremendous gift from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that he speaks to us from it, and that we don't have authority over it, which means we submit to Scripture. When Scripture says, hey, don't do that, then we think we should not do that. When Scripture says, do that, then we think we should do that. And you don't have to believe that way about the Bible in order to attend a church, attend this church, certainly not. But you should know, this is sort of the lenses we're viewing the world through. We believe in the authority of Scripture. We're leaning into that, and we're trying to build our lives around the truth of it. That's important for you to know and to understand for sure. We are Bible people, and we're working together to try to follow its teachings. All right, so we're going to try to grow as well and pursue growth by the next one, by regular Bible reading, prayer, and fellowship. Obviously, if we think the Bible's true, then we're going to lean into that. Prayer is something that we communicate with the Lord. This is kind of crucial to what it is to follow Christ. Fellowship, we've already talked about that, and the important that we do this stuff together. And there's a whole list of verses. Actually, after all of these, like, there's a whole lot of just verses. I'm probably asking for too much, but boy, I would love it if you would read them. All. Especially if you're going, wait a minute, why do they believe that? Well, there's probably a verse. In fact, there is a verse for everything in here. So it's I worked real hard on it. So anyway, read the verses. And then finally here, we're going to do this by pursuing holiness in all areas of life as an act of worship. That's a really important statement. Okay, we're going to pursue growth you wouldn't believe the amount of time I spent just writing this sentence, okay? It was years ago, but still. By pursuing holiness in all areas of life as an act of worship. I want to pause here and say two quick things about this. First of all, when we talk about trying to live well for the Lord, this is about a pursuit of holiness. No one is absolutely perfect. No one is without sin. All right? If somebody tells you that they don't sin, then you've got them on one already. They lied. Okay? No one is without sin. We never arrive. But look, we can actually grow in this. And we can and will, as we pursue it, increasingly walk in victory over sin. Like, really, you can. There's a little bit of defeatism that's made its way into the church. Like, oh, I'm a sinner. You know, it's like, okay. No, the Bible says we fight for these things and that we grow in these things. I don't have the quote, so make sure you hear it. It won't be on the screen. This is a quote by St. Francis of Assisi, who is a very quotable guy. He said this, wear the world. He's talking about, look, we're in the world. Wear is in clothing. Wear it. Wear the world as a loose garment, which touches us in a few places and there lightly. I really appreciate this because there's an honesty in this. And he goes like, he's basically saying, I get it. It's a busted world. Sinfulness and brokenness and pain, this is the air that we breathe, like we're all swimming in it. Nobody's coming out unscathed. But we can strive to wear it loosely. We can wear it loosely. My mental image is a Snuggie. Just very loose, very, that's why we like them, they're comfortable. Okay. A lot of folks wear the world like skinny jeans, though. I mean, they're just, it's personal, tight, all up in there. So way too tight. Should not have said that. Just came right out.
I'm really glad no one said amen at that point. The one moment I'm like, don't do it, don't say it.
I like the honesty in this. It's like, hey, look, we're going to be touched by the world, this broken world that we live in, but we wear it loosely. We wear it loosely. This isn't about perfection. This is about a genuine desire to live well for Jesus, all right? And the second thing I want to say about this statement is the second part of it, that we do this as an act of worship. Please, I mean, if you hear me say nothing else, please hear me say this. We do not, as believers, not in this church, but like any Christian that like gets the gospel anywhere, we do not strive for holiness because we are afraid that if we don't, that God won't save us or God won't forgive us. We instead strive for holiness because we know that God has already saved us and he has already forgiven us. And so we're grateful. We're thankful. We love him, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. And we're thankful. And we go, you know what? Your way's better than our way. You're the king of the universe and the creator of all. Your deal is better. So we want to follow you. We want to let our life be molded and shaped into what you would have it be because we're thankful. And we want our lives to please you. We want to live well for you. Listen, here's the key. It's about gratitude, not fear. It's about gratitude, not fear. All right, so we want to pursue growth. The next one, we want to pursue growth by confessing my sin to God and to fellow believers. And that look, most people are cool with the first part. It's the second part that goes, wait a minute, I'm going to confess my sin to fellow believers? Remember I said earlier about how we're Bible people? Bible on this one. The Bible says we confess our sin to God so that we can be forgiven. We confess our sin to one another so that we may be healed. Why do we make a big deal about confessing our sins to one another? Is it because we want to know each other's garbage? Absolutely not. It's because it is freeing, it is life-giving. As we talked about last week, it breaks the power of the secret, and we have the opportunity to walk in life and in light and in freedom and in healing as we confess our sins to one another. All right, pursue growth by confessing my sin to God and to fellow believers, by repenting of my sin, which means turning away from it and seeking to put it to death. There's interesting language in Scripture where it says when we have sin in our life, we don't think, oh, that's unfortunate. No, we kill it. It's a very aggressive language in Scripture. I'm trying to put this to death. I'm trying to cut this out of me. So one of the things we say around here is really important. This is a place, I really believe this, this is a place where it's okay to not be okay. All right, look, when people, we have never, and we never will scorn or ridicule people who struggle with sin in their lives, ever, period. This is a place where it's okay to not be okay. But look, if we want to like walk in freedom at all, it is not okay to be phony about where we really are. So when you find a place that's safe to be busted and to be honest about your brokenness, then you move in that direction so that you can be free. All right? Okay, keep going. You're going to pursue growth now by submitting to the leadership of the Vineyard Church as, this is important, as they follow the Lord. That's the key, right? So this is not submit to the leadership of the Vineyard Church no matter what. Please sign the 1 billion-year contract. Like, this is not that. No. As they follow the Lord. So if you read Scripture, and again, they're really clear references for each of these. I would encourage you to read them, especially if this is like, what does that look like? If that feels weird, I'd love to, let's have an extended conversation about what that looks like. I know this could be a thing, but certainly look at Scripture at this. Those references are ones you're going to want to look to. But here's the important language. Leadership in the church, we follow them as they follow the Lord. And ultimately, this is about submitting to the Lord, all right? If you got leaders who are not following the Lord, if I'm not following the Lord, if I'm teaching things that aren't biblical, not only do you not need to not submit, you need to leave. You need to go away and find a church where they do those things, okay? So this is that, okay? But, if we are, and Scripture clearly sort of lays this out, if we are, as leaders, leaning on Scripture, walking in humility, submitting to the Lord, then there's reason to follow. There's good reason to follow. And we do that within the church. So that's number two. Number three, here we go. This is about finding a place to serve. I'll be real quick here. I will give up my time to serve and support the ministries of in your church and the people in this church family. And there's some cool references for that as well. I encourage you to read. This is really simple. Like this church runs on volunteers, but this isn't about just like getting the kids ministry staff and having somebody to make coffee or run the slides. It's not so much about that. It's about recognizing how this works. Like this is a community, and this is built on relationships. Did my mic go in and out? It did, didn't it? Yeah. All right. This is a community. It's built on relationships. Everything the church has to offer to you is because of the giftedness of someone else within the church. And so we receive from that, and then we also contribute to that. We engage in the life of the church, we serve one another, and in that, really beautifully, we can lift one another up. This is about finding a place of service. I'd love for everybody to find a place of regular service within the church. I know that there's some circumstances where that doesn't work out. We don't have the means or the desire to police this. But this is largely about a condition of the heart that says, this is a family, it's a community, we're serving one another. How can I be a part of that? How can I engage in that so that I can serve others within the body of Christ? All right, that's number three. Number four is giving. We talked mostly about giving last week, so you can grab the podcast, make sure, and you're like, why would I get a podcast on giving? You should. It's good. Here it is, and then we'll just quickly on this because we did address it more last week. I will give faithfully and regularly of my finances using tithing as a template with the Bible and the Holy Spirit as my guide. And there are lots of scriptures. I really want to encourage you to read the scriptures connected to that. Tithing is our template, very clear in the Old Testament, and it's affirmed in the New Testament. Tithing, or giving 10% of your income, is laid out as a starting point. But in the end, as this really comes out in the New Testament, in the end, we know that God will direct us, that God will speak to us, that he will guide us, he will tell us exactly how to give. So we use tithing as a template, but what we really expect beyond that is that the Lord is just going to speak to us, that he's going to direct us. And there are wonderful examples in the New Testament of that very thing happening again and again and again and again. And we want to lean into that. Yes, we see the template in Scripture, but we want to lean into how the Lord might lead us and direct us. And he might say, yeah, that's a good template, but how about this? Or what about that? And let God speak to us. So number four, giving is about making that. Again, we spoke of it last week as such a clear indicator of where our hearts really are. All right. So there's that's an important one. Moving on, number five. I'm going to be tempted to preach a whole long sermon on this one. I won't, though. Number five will actually be brief. I will share the truth of the gospel with others as an act of love. Let's talk about sharing your faith. Did you know that you could share your faith and it not be an act of love? Uh-huh. We just scroll down your Facebook feed, can't we? Oh, that's an act of love. Wow, that's a horrible thing to say. And then they said something about Jesus at the end. People can be awful. We share our faith as an act of love, as an act of kindness. Did you know you can really share the gospel and it not be an act of kindness? Ooh, icky stuff sometimes. You're like, wow, but the Bible says that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. So if we're going to share our faith, we're going to do it with kindness or it ain't going to work. All right, I said I wouldn't preach. Keep going. As an act of love, kindness, and obedience, something's taught us to do. I will embrace the Great Commission as a mandate. This is a big, strong word, isn't it? The Great Commission, where God said to share the gospel with everyone, as a mandate to every believer. So this is about taking that. Number five is about taking that really seriously. That the Great Commission was given to the church as a whole and to each of us as individuals. All right? So as a church, we got to chase after that with everything we got. As individuals, we do as well. All right? This is about taking that really, really seriously. What Jesus has done for the world is good news. And he has enlisted us to report the good news. All right? And that's one of those things where we're going to lean into as a church. All right, number six, edify. This is the last of them. And I'll tell you, I don't know of any other churches that make this one of their, things for membership. I'm really glad that we do, though. This one's super important. I will speak well of my brothers and sisters in Christ and defend the integrity of this church body. If I have a grievance with someone in the body, I will follow the biblical model to resolve that grievance. And you can look down there where it says Matthew 18, 15 to 20. That's the biblical model. There's nice, clear steps for how to do that. I will not participate in any form of gossip, and I will intervene if I encounter it. That's a heck of a statement, isn't it? I will not participate in any form of gossip. Okay, all right, I'll do that. And I will intervene if I encounter it. That's asking something, isn't it? And I mean it to be. Now, it's not nearly as hard as it sounds, actually. 9 times out of 10, that means just changing the subject. Like, hey, let's talk about something else. It's not hard to change the subject. Say something about politics, and then off it'll go. You know? You're fine. Just change the subject. Yeah. Just say, what would Trump do? And then just walk away if you want to. You know? I don't know. You can just do whatever you want. It's easy to change the subject. Change the subject. Sometimes people won't want to change the subject. Sometimes they lean in. And this is the most aggressive thing I've ever had to say. And I will tell you this, and I've thought about it. I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds of times I've changed the subject because I got uncomfortable and it felt like gossip. I've done this hundreds of times. I'm sure of it. I'm tempted to say thousands, but I don't want to exaggerate. I know hundreds. The most aggressive thing I've ever had to say was, hey, I think we could, let's change the subject because I feel like if the person we're talking about was here, then they wouldn't feel good about where the conversation's going. Like, or if they were here, we probably wouldn't have the conversation the same way. And then that's the most aggressive thing I've ever had to say. And then every time I've done that, at least in my memory here in the second, people come afterwards like, I'm sorry. Because people do. People recognize it. All right. That's what this means. It's like, hey, I'm gonna jump in. Because you know what? The church is the bride of Christ. That's us. That's you. We're the bride of Christ. He's crazy about it. He loves us like crazy. And husbands who are crazy about their brides don't like it when people rip on their brides. Like, I'm head over heels for Sharon. And if you don't like Sharon, I don't like you. How could you be such a terrible judge of character? What is wrong with you? I just spit about that. Good grief. And if you don't speak well of her, if you speak badly of her, we're not good. Like, we got problems, you and I. We are not good. And look, I just refuse to believe that the church as the bride of Christ isn't as vigorously defended by the King of the universe. As much as I love Sharon, I know that Christ loves his bride more. If we don't speak well of her, I don't think that goes well with him. That's kind of a big deal. Okay, so we got the booklet here. I'm about done here. And at the end, there's a commitment of membership, and you can read that, and there's a place to sign it and date it, and you're like, wait a minute, what about that contract language? Here's the thing. The signature, the booklet, that's not for us. That's for you. So if you choose to become a member, I would encourage you to sign the booklet, but we're not collecting them afterwards. Take them home. It's for you. It's for you. As a reminder for you. Like, wait a minute. I said I was in. I'm in. I'm engaging in this community in this way. So that's the point of that. I'll tell you one more thing here. Membership, to be honest, it's one of those things that pastors talk about a lot. I said earlier, it's not explicitly talked about in Scripture. And so it's an interesting topic, you know, when pastors get, especially in the Vineyard, we talk about this stuff a lot. And here's why. Here's why membership comes up a lot amongst pastors in the Vineyard and why some churches do it and some don't and all this stuff. Here's why. Because in the Vineyard, like from the very beginning, since the inception of the Vineyard, all the way down to our core, like deep down into our DNA, we hate legalism. We hate it. And membership has been used as a tool for legalism. But the other thing is, in the Vineyard, all the way deep down to our core, like all the way from the beginning, deep into our DNA, we love community. And used rightly, it's a tool for meaningful community. And so that's why it's a topic. So look, I'll be as clear as I know how to be. And again, we shape our own vision, our own picture of what membership is. So maybe as clear as I possibly can for us. This ain't about legalism for us. I promise you, not even a shred. Not even the tiniest shred. This is instead about community. This is about knowing who we're in this with. It's about you knowing who you're in it with. It's about us committing to one another as we follow Jesus. That's the thing on that. All right, the band is going to come on up, and they'll get set up here and continue leading us in worship. Then we'll have vertical time. First, I wanted to share with you one thing that I always think of, honestly, when I think of community in the life of a church and why I think this stuff matters so much. I really do. When I was growing up, as a little kid, I had a dog named Casper. We called him Casper because he was white, and he had big, thick white. He was an American Eskimo. I don't know if you're familiar with the breed. Really cool, little, hyper, crazy town dog. I loved him. Super fun. But he was an American Eskimo. Not a big fan of summer. Loved him some winter. Loved when it was winter time. It was time to play all day around the clock. He loved it. The colder it got, the happier he was, and the more he ran around, panting around like crazy. And he loved to run. So those were play days for him whenever it got really cold. But the problem is, he'd run around like crazy, and he would need water more on those days than on any other day. But you leave a water bowl out for a dog on your coldest day of the year, and what happens? It turns into a block of ice. And whenever, on those days, and there were many of them, on those days, what we had to do again and again, and we had to be really, really pretty diligent, is we had to go again and again and break up the ice that kept stubbornly forming on the top of his water bowl. And the truth is, guys, as believers trying to live out our faith, we're a little bit like that. The world is a cold, dark place. And in our pursuit of Christ, look, it's really, the things can start to get, we can get cold. And the ice will stubbornly form. And before we know it, like, it could sneak up on us, and our heart can be like a block of ice. And what we need is people who love us, and people who care about us, and people who are engaged in our lives, and people with whom we have a legitimate Christian community who can step into our lives as a kindness and along the way break the ice that stubbornly forms again and again. And what happens so much, like a whole lot this happens, the people don't decide, oh, I'm done with this, or I'm done with the Lord, or I don't believe anymore. What happens more, way more often than that, is there's nobody carefully monitoring your heart. Over time, it gets cold. And before you know it, you can end up a block of ice. And there was no moment of defiance or I'm out of here. It's just you get, before you know it, you're frozen before the Lord, cold to his teaching and to his move in your life. And what this is about, look, I don't want you to decide. We got vertical time. We're going to reflect for a minute. I don't want you to decide if you're going to become a member next week. That's what the week's for. I want you to read this stuff. I want you to think about it. Take your time. So for this couple of minutes, can you ask maybe yourself just this question? Is there someone who has access to you, who loves you, and as an act of kindness and service to you, will monitor the surface of the water and will break up the ice as it starts to form around your heart? We need people for that. We need it. That's what this, again, membership, that's what's at the heart of it, that we can do this for one another. Let me take a second to pray.